Late nights with Trav and Lowe's.
Yeah, so we're in the cantina again. And it's
finally back.
We're finally back.
I feel like it's been a long time.
I came up with a name for where we were at.
Okay.
The Porcina.
Ooh.
We're at the Porcina.
Porcina.
The Porcina,
sounds
yeah.
Sounds exotic.
Yeah, it is exotic.
Uh-huh.
Careful with my Porcina. So, yeah, last week we were at Travis's Porcina, and the week prior, Travis was...
Sounds a little feminine.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. Travis was in Boston and New York. And so we're 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later.
Here we are back in the cantina.
Back in the cantina. And the weather's
back
nice.
Back at it again.
It's not windy.
It's not. Yeah, it's good. It's a good night.
It's a good night.
We have the crickets out, which makes it even like a little bit more romantic.
Yeah, I like the crickets.
I hope those are getting picked up on the.
I hope so. These mics are nicer, so they.
Might not.
May
pick
not.
It up.
I mean, they didn't pick up the cat that was meowing.
Oh my gosh, that
but
cat.
But a month ago, that cat. That cat was stuck up on the tree.
It was like pregnant or something.
Yeah.
Having labor pains.
All right, so
what do you got for us today?
So I'm excited to talk to you about this thing.
Before we jump in, let me give you a rundown of how this podcast works. My name is Travis, and this is Lowe's. Lowe's is giving us the content today.
I am.
I don't know what he's picked his topic as, and he's going to present some principles to us, and I'm going to react, you know, just like I would, like normally.
Yeah.
We're going to have a conversation. It's late at night, and you're invited. So, Lowe's, let us have it.
Here we go. So about a month ago, I was in Australia,
mm-hmm.
and there was this concept that was taught to us. And it's this concept called jobs to be done.
Jobs to be done.
Mm.
Got it.
Jobs to be done.
Jobs to be done.
And so it's the first time I heard of it, and it's the first time that this framework of jobs to be done was talked about.
I'm interested.
So it was really interesting, and the talk wasn't enough for me to get a deep dive on it, right? And so they said, go to Google or go to Medium and search jobs to be done. There's this milkshake video about jobs to be done that I haven't seen yet. It was in my notes to go look at it.
Okay.
And I should have probably seen it before talking about this.
I should have prepared for
I should have prepared a little bit more. And however, I found an awesome blog that encapsulates the message itself.
Jobs to be done.
Jobs to be done.
Okay.
Right?
So let's have it.
And so it's...
Give me that content. That sweet, sweet content.
I'll give you that sweet, sweet content.
Put it right in my ear.
Okay. So let me... So I'll put...
Put that content right in my ear.
Only when I'm in your Porcina. okay, hold on. Let me find it. So this is a blog post. I'll link it in the show notes from... The former Tehan plus Lax.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. And it wasn't Tehan or Lax that had it. I think it was someone that worked there.
Right. But they published it on Medium?
They published it on Medium, yeah. They published a lot
of it. Is it under the moniker of Tehan Lax?
No, it's under... It's Eric...
It's just one of their employees.
Yeah, yeah.
What's his name? Eric?
Eric Portolans.
Okay. Eric, you got
Eric,
us.
Yeah, and this was two years ago that he published it.
Got it. Right. Got it.
It's a 5-minute read. So he begins this entire... blog talking about kind of like when you design something, right? Or when you're creating a product or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This is a jobs to be done as a framework to creating a product. And what we talked about 3 weeks ago mm-hmm. was the experience canvas.
Experience canvas.
Which is a way to create a hypothesis and find out the value of what you're creating.
Right.
So jobs to be done is another framework when creating something.
Okay.
Okay. And so we'll go through this blog post and then I'll introduce the topic to you and I'll be looking for insights and reactions from you and I'll react as we go.
I'm locked and loaded.
Locked and loaded.
Yes.
So he talks about how it's tempting to look at consumer market research segmented by demographics, psychographics, or technographics for data points that confirm or refute hunches that we have.
Okay.
Right? And he mentions that there's plenty of this out there and it's been gathered and it's been analyzed by smart people working at reputable companies. He also says that it's tempting to look at competitors in a market and try to reverse engineer their success
mm-hmm,
or
mm-hmm.
kind of classify them on a spectrum of qualities that help them like arbitrarily identify things that could differentiate us. You know, like he says, we're like the Tumblr for the knitting community.
Right. Yeah, right? Yeah.
We're like the Uber for pencils. Or
we're like Spotify for dogs.
Yeah, yeah. Or we're like dogs for Spotify. And then he talks, that's when creating a new product. And he talks, in the case of an existing product, you could also look at analytics and hope that the data will point you in the direction of the next thing you should do.
Okay.
Okay. And then he says, finally, it's easy to come up with a list of ideas, features, and requests from existing or prospective customers that seem worthy of building. Okay, so this is all fine and dandy, but he states a problem.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
The problem is that this data is almost always a lagging indicator of behavior.
Right.
Okay.
Right. It does not, it's not predicting.
That's right. He says that even when you aggregated it all together and look for trends, we are reporting something that has already happened.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't mean we understand why it happened. And then he says that yet the why is the single most important thing to identify in product design.
It, I mean, I think this goes for like most everything, right?
Yeah.
Everything that you design, everything that you create, everything that you publish or promote, you need to understand why. And it's so flipping hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard. Like, I was thinking about the analytics that we have for our podcast,
mm-hmm.
and I was comparing that to the analytics that I have for my YouTube channel,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like we know about 99.9 with a bar over it less.
Yeah. Than what you know with your
than
YouTube.
Than what I know about, mm-hmm. yeah. I feel very connected to my YouTube audience. Mm-hmm. I feel like I interact with them all the time, all day long.
Yeah. I got that.
All day, I feel like I connect with him all the time, all day long. And our podcast audience, I know they're there. I see their numbers, but the only time I can like put a personality or a face or a sentiment, you know, to them is when they leave a review or send us a tweet or an
yeah.
email. Like those are the only real encounters, and those are the most genuine encounters. Those are the ones that are answering the question, why?
Right. He poses, why does this exist? And then he says, why might someone actually change their behavior and use this?
Right.
Or listen or watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? And they give us those insights when they communicate with
mm-hmm.
us. But if we look at the numbers or if we look at the trends of how podcasts are doing or, you know, like X many people now download podcasts or, you know, like that wouldn't inform you the way that, you know, why do you listen to this podcast or why does someone listen to podcasts? We know that they're, you know, popular or we know that they're gaining popularity compared to what they used to be, but we don't know why.
Yeah.
And it's through speaking to humans. There's really no substitute than listening and speaking to your users.
That's a great point. And so if you're listening and you're still with us, Travis is coming at it as a publisher from YouTube and a podcast, and also as a product designer at Google.
Uh-huh.
So his reactions will be from that lens, and mine are similar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Publisher, also a designer at a software company.
Yep.
And so when you look and listen at this this message and this conversation that we're having, whatever lens that you have, look at it through that lens and see how this applies.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah, I think you're talking about really good principles here.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just trying to apply them.
Yes, that's right.
I'm trying to help out.
Right, right.
I'm the audience.
You are the audience. So Eric talks about this thing called the iceberg. And he says that it's said that 90% of an iceberg is underwater. Okay? He says, I believe the same analogy applies to the insights we focus our creative energy on when designing a product.
Interesting.
Right? He says that it's easy to find the lagging indicators or that 10% that is above water.
Mm-hmm. And point to that because it's visible and say, look at this.
Yeah. And he says it's much harder to find the leading indicators of potential customer behavior.
That's interesting because as designers, we have, I mean, I've always thought that I have three sources of let's say, influence when I'm making a decision,
mm-hmm.
right? We've talked about this on another podcast, but I have trends. What's mm-hmm. going on? What are you doing? What do I see out there?
Mm-hmm.
We have my own experience. What have I done in the past? And what has worked? What has not worked? And then I have intuition, which mm-hmm. is the more mysterious one.
Right.
You can't explain intuition very well. You can't say why you think it's going to be great. You can point to things that you did through intuition and blame it on things that you can explain.
Yeah.
And that's always fun. But this is interesting, and I'm kind of relating this back that intuition part, I feel, is related to this kind of unseen. There's like that unseen element or
yeah,
something there, you know? And
I think we touch on it later.
Okay.
It's like intuition or this intangible element of why we make something.
And when you have to justify your decisions, especially, I mean, I work at Google, so everything is justified that we do.
Right.
And you have to often like be like, look, these are our user base, and we did this little test, and we noticed that this happened, and we think that we can scale that up, and we think that we can be a good result. Mm-hmm. And that's like, oh, there you go. That's easy to make a decision with. But sometimes you're like to even formulate the rules for the test, you know, or whatever you're trying to do, it starts with intuition, and you have to kind of like intuit what is below the surface of the water.
Yeah.
What is that other 90%? My data doesn't tell me. It tells me what the 10% of what happened already. Looking at that 90% underwater is like trying to use your best guess at the future or what the future needs.
Yeah, yeah. And you're transitioning pretty good into what we're going to talk about here.
Okay.
Right? He ends that paragraph by talking about that focusing only on lagging indicator is a dangerous blind list to have when you're trying to find product market fit and persuade people to switch to your product.
Right.
Okay. And he says that he believes that the single most important thing you can identify when creating a product is the jobs to be done.
Jobs to be done.
That your existing or potential customers have in their lives.
That's absolutely right.
He elaborates more.
How many times have I thought, like, you know what would be a good feature? If somebody could just clickety-click, click, click, and get whiz, zing, bop, boom, bang.
Yeah.
But that's not the truth.
No.
The truth is, you know, I'm a user, and I have a job to be done. There's a reason I'm here, and it's not to see a whiz, bang, pop.
Here's the reason. He says the jobs to be done are what cause a customer to hire or fire a product.
Right. That's exactly right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
He says, finding a poorly served job that many people critically share is the most important factor in identifying new opportunities and building disruptive solutions.
Yeah.
They are the leading indicators of customer behavior that help you stay focused on building the things that matter and ignoring the things that don't.
Mm-hmm. And focusing on jobs to be done really... It's a really great way to avoid the trap of looking at what other people do and try to make a better widget.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, so for example, today Google released or announced this chat called Allo or Allo. I hadn't heard about it today for the first time. I'd never heard about it, and I'm looking at it and I'm thinking like, okay, like what is the I mean, in your framework, what's the job to be done? Like, what is this?
Why would I hire this product?
Yeah, like I'm looking at it and I'm saying, okay, there we have Facebook Messenger is very popular. We have like Snapchat and all these others that are very popular.
Mm-hmm.
Not what features does this have that are better?
Yeah,
you know, but why would anybody go through the effort of changing their current workflow in terms of like chatting with their friends or whatever?
Yeah.
To now hire Allo or whatever
it is, yeah.
Yeah, and you can go down this list of features and you can make a grid and check marks and you know, red crosses like in the things that they don't have. And it really depends on what your needs are. Like I think this is a great framework. And like carrying this forward, if somebody thought of what is the job to be done, they wouldn't sit, like if you thought what is the job to be done in this space and you backed up far enough, you probably, I mean, let's think, would you come to the solution that the job to be done is a chat app? Maybe it's not, you know?
Yeah.
Like the job to be done is to communicate with those people you need to communicate with.
That's right.
That's the job.
Yeah.
So how do you do that? Well, one expression is a chat app. What is it? What are some other expressions
That's right.
of communicating with people you need to?
That's
quickly
right.
Quickly and easily, right?
You're thinking of the framework the right way.
Yeah.
That's an example of what when I was in Australia of a talk, that was an example that they gave.
They use chat apps?
No, they didn't use chat apps, but they just used the example of like I forget what they used, but they were saying this is a job to be done of this thing or whatever.
Yeah,
like you said, this chat app. Now, let's really look at it. What is the job to be done?
Yes.
And that is one manifestation.
The job
of
is
it.
Not to have a chat app.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you didn't buy a phone so you could put a chat app on.
That's right. I bought it so I can communicate.
Right.
Right.
That's the job to be done.
That's the job to be done. And so he continues and he says that the most successful products are created by one of four types of people. Okay.
I'm listening.
This was interesting.
I really hope that I'm one of those four.
I think you are one of the four. Okay. I think we all fall into one of these, right?
Yeah. Number one, or a mix.
Number one are the geniuses who have a strong internalized sense of important jobs to be done.
Okay.
These people are few and far between. They are the Steve Jobs of the world.
The Steve Jobs to be done.
Steve Jobs to be done. I mean, he had it in his name, right? They have an incredibly persistent vision, drive, and experience. These individuals are wired to identify and build things that solve important Steve Jobs to be done.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So, Steve Jobs, Bill Gates.
The dude who invented the cotton gin.
The cotton gin, yes.
Was it George Washington Carver? I have no idea. Oh, my gosh. If you broadcast that, I will look like an idiot. It might have been him, though.
It might have been. Or whatever the guy is who did Snapchat, Eric something.
No, but we're looking in a tunnel. We're in tunnel vision right now. Silicon Valley tunnel vision.
That's right.
Like, think about jobs to be done. Like what about Henry Ford?
The telephone.
He did not invent the telephone.
No, no, I'm jumping ahead. Just
Alexander Graham Bell. Like, he wanted to communicate, so he invented a way to do that. Like, and so he was looking at the job to be done.
What is a job to be done? A fire and a flame and a candle is to light a room at night.
Mm-hmm.
And so
cook your food.
Cook your food. And yet electricity came.
Uh-huh.
Because the job to be done was, I need more light.
Uh-huh.
And I'm tired of burning all these candles.
Not sustainable, but safe and like, you know,
More reliable.
Portable.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. So that's number one, geniuses.
Geniuses.
Okay, they have a strong internalized sense of this jobs to be done framework.
Yeah.
Number two are people who have identified a problem they have,
mm-hmm.
your own problem, and decide to create a better solution first and foremost for themselves.
This is everybody who ever made a baby app.
There you go.
I'm sure you've met like five of these people. Yeah. Somebody had a baby, their life changed.
Yeah.
And they realized that they need XYZ tool in their life, and so they made an app for mommies.
That's right. So by focusing on their own problems, they remain focused on what matters.
Yep.
And have an easier time identifying other people who might share this problem and hire their solution.
Yep.
Other mom and dads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, having a baby is an example of this, but this often happens when somebody's life changes dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
This happens, like an example of this is, or another example of this is when somebody will make like Michael J. Fox Foundation, right? Mm-hmm. What does he have for the shaky hands and stuff?
Parkinson's.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, his life changed suddenly, and now he's interested in filling a need that he has.
That's
and
right.
Other people that he is suddenly in a new, he's suddenly in a new community.
Yes.
And he wants to help them. And so he does what he can.
Because there are others that have similar problems.
Right. And now he's aware of that community because he's part of it.
Mm-hmm. So that's the second person.
Mm-hmm.
The person who solves their own problems.
Yeah.
We were at FOWD, Forward mm-hmm. Design, and Tobias Van Schneider. Something like that.
Yep.
Part of his talk was
Tobias.
Like, Tobias, yeah. Tobias.
Tobias. You have to say it like Tobias because
that's his name. Yeah, Tobias.
I guess it is his name.
And so he talked about. I think a question was asked. How do you create? How do you decide on what you work on?
Uh huh.
And his was find a problem that you have in your life and solve it.
Yep. He's like, if it bothers me enough, I'll try to solve it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I think that's like a very strong indicator that he's in the second group.
The third are people who create a product and somewhat by chance stumble upon a compelling job to be done that propels them to success. Okay.
Okay.
This is dangerous, especially with complex digital products.
Here's why. I was going to give a why, but I'll give my why after you give your why.
Okay. It becomes easy to misunderstand the reasons people have hired you and to blindly push your product in a direction that moves away from solving the most important jobs to be done.
Yep, yep. And also we have this fantasy that if somebody has a good exit or they make a good product or whatever, they can do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe for the first two groups, that's obviously possible, right?
Yeah.
But for the third one, they've kind of stumbled into something that works. Why would we think that they can stumble into a second one?
That's right. You can't, you know. It's right. Like, over time, these products can begin to poorly serve the market.
Because they don't know why it's good.
That's right. And so they leave the door open to competitors.
Yes. Somebody who was benefited from their product, but sees how it's not quite fitting the niche. Mm-hmm. Man.
It's not the job to be done.
Right.
And then here's a fourth, which is how they liken themselves, the former Tihan and Lax.
Okay.
Number four is people who understand the importance of creating products that solve real customer problems and have a set of tools and frameworks like jobs to be done that they use to identify and validate the real human problems they're trying to solve in the market. This is the all-encompassing jobs to be done framework.
So what's the difference between this and the first?
The first is people who have an intrinsic sense of important jobs to be done. The fourth are people who understand the importance of creating products that solve real customer problems.
Oh, the difference is the first are kind of doing it unaware?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Okay. The fourth is being aware of this framework and using the tools, jobs to be done or an experience canvas,
mm-hmm.
to identify and validate the real human problems that they're trying to solve.
That's interesting. So the fourth one seems like a catch-all for anybody who's just studied themselves into it,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not like this type of personality or this type of occurrence. It's like
it's a learned
number four is
learned number one.
You've studied it.
Yeah, you studied it. Yeah, he says that they push themselves and their clients to be in the fourth category because the third is too hit and miss.
Yep.
And the first and second categories are too rare.
Interesting. Yeah. So that was one thing I was going to say about the fourth category is that it appears to be something that you can build yourself into. You can actually achieve it no matter who you are with a little bit of work, a little bit of introspection and I guess extrospection. Is that even a word? I don't know. You know, like
outward.
Just awareness.
Awareness.
Awareness of inside and outside and kind of building those tools. Like, you know, these things that we talk about for designers, you know, like a designer needs to be, you know, have empathy. A designer needs to have awareness and grit. Like these are not things that humans are born with,
mm-mm.
you know, and it takes time and energy and concerted effort. And it's similar to what you're talking about in order to be versed in the jobs to be done framework and to like not just hear about it on a podcast, but start applying it into the work that you do. It takes time and effort and energy and failure and learning and growth, right? Like, so the people who are in number four have gone through the ringer.
They have gone through the ringer.
Yeah. But that's good for us. That's good for us because they've shown us a way that we can do it too.
That's right. And so he goes on to, how do we do this? He tries to talk about the how.
What a great transition in the podcast.
What a great transition. will you imagine that? And so he says that the idea behind jobs to be done is relatively straightforward.
Yeah.
We're all trying to make some kind of progress in our lives with regards to problems or jobs that we have. I need to go drink some water, so I go get a cup and hire it to hold my water. Right?
Yeah.
I'm tired. I need to sit down. I'm going to go find a chair and hire it
mm-hmm.
to sit on it. If it's uncomfortable, I'm going to fire it.
Right.
Because it's not doing its job.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. And he says that we hire various...
You're fired.
And we hire various solutions to solve them for us. We continue to use a solution so long as it continues to adequately address the jobs we have, whether we're conscious of it or not.
There's also this... there's a switching cost.
There is a switching cost.
Yeah. And I'm not sure that it fits into what you want to talk about tonight, but like there's an interesting fallacy that you can fall into by believing that your product is the right fit when actually it just has a high switching cost.
That's right, which are lagging
indicators.
Indicators, really. Right. Well, they're still using ours. Like
it must be good.
Our active, like monthly active user base is steady and it's not dropping, so we must be doing it right.
Uh-huh.
Yet
there's nothing better or the other thing is just the same.
Yeah, or imagine you being a large corporation or a government
entity. Yeah. A bureaucracy that has no financial reason to change, even though the solution is not quite as good.
That's right. I mean, I think at the DMV, which in America is the Department of Motor Vehicles.
The classic bureaucracy.
Classic bureaucracy. I don't know what operating system they use on their computers.
I don't think they do.
Okay.
it's like they write pieces of paper and slip it to each other. JK, if you're on the DMV.
Yeah, you get it, though. They're like, I don't know. I doubt they're using Windows 10 is what I'm saying.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're likely using like Windows XP and just jumped on Vista.
Okay.
Right. Or something like that.
I'm agreeing with you. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And so, just to
nail that down, yeah. I used to work at a place, this is a lifetime ago, but we had no operating system.
Nice.
It was like this prompt. And
command line.
It was a command line, really was. And like you had to enter, you know, this option for this and like find the product and, you know, and like, and the thing about it was, though, it was actually incredibly fast.
Yeah.
Because we all knew how to do it really quickly and find what we were looking for. But yeah, like what was the switching cost for that company? Incredibly high. They would have to buy new terminals. They would have to license new software. They would have to educate everybody. Have you ever been on a call or like talking to somebody and they're like, oh, it's a new system, and they give you that excuse? Have you ever gotten that excuse?
Yeah.
I feel like I've gotten that excuse so many times in my life where somebody who is the employee and you're waiting on them and they go, sorry, it's just a new system. I don't know. Hold on.
Blame it on the system.
Happens all the time.
Yeah.
And what you're experiencing there is switching costs.
It is switching costs.
Yeah.
And so identifying these jobs is the tricky part. Okay. That's the practice that you're talking about. Is how do you get good at this?
Yeah.
Right. So where do we start?
I threw a huge tangent in there about switching costs.
That's all right. I think it applies. I think it's I have something on my
No, I have a scratchy chin. Can you hear this?
Travis is scratching his beard and looking at me. You know, like, you know when someone points at their tooth and they like look at you, you're like, oh, I must have something in my tooth. They're like, no, my tooth looks itchy.
Like, no, this is a tooth. I want to show you I have one.
So here's a simplified form of the methodology you can use.
Yes.
Three steps. Number one, find people who have recently hired or fired a relevant product.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Number two, interview them to investigate what forces and factors have led to this event. Don't spend time talking about what they like or didn't like about the product.
Right. They don't know like or didn't like.
They don't know.
They just know what happened.
That's right. Or don't talk to them about the features they want to see in the future because these are traps.
Right.
They don't know the job that they need to be done.
They don't. They're just going to add more features.
They are. Number three is analyze these forces and factors to pull out and prioritize the jobs to be done. Okay? So here's the elaboration that he ends with.
I'm listening.
He says, the process looks more like detective work than conventional market research, in large part because most of us have low self-awareness of why we hire things. We have very low self-awareness. We have found it greatly outperforms conventional research approaches because it avoids the trap of looking for esoteric or abstract insights and instead focuses relentlessly on answering very plain questions that get to the crux of why we do what we do. So he says, at this point, you should have a set of jobs to be done that, if employed correctly, will serve as a lens through which most product decision-making can exist.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have an idea or feature that doesn't clearly resolve the job in some way, it doesn't deserve to exist or should be deprioritized.
That's why sometimes you see let's talk about apps. Like sometimes you see this app that's like a Swiss Army knife. It kind of does everything, mm-hmm. you know? And then sometimes you see this app that does one thing.
Mm.
And I think that you can look at those two and you can see pretty clearly which one is developed with an eye on the job and which one is developed with an eye on a new feature for their list of features.
So we saw this in mobile apps as a macro trend.
Yeah.
Okay. If you notice, there was this Swiss Army knife of apps
mm-hmm.
about 3.5-4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, there was a macro trend and a macro switch to be single use apps.
Right.
Because your phone becomes the Swiss Army knife and you add the tools that you want it to be.
You're hiring and firing individual jobs.
That's right, which are individual apps. So you have these single use apps that are specific to one thing and they do that job really well.
Yeah. I remember when they took messaging out of Facebook.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, what?
Well, why? And I'm sure they're still throwing tantrums.
Sure.
What has it become now, though?
Messaging is humongous part of Facebook's business now.
That's right.
and people hire that app to do one specific thing, and it actually does it really well.
Does it really well, and they couldn't have done it if it remained on the Facebook platform.
Right.
It needed to be...
It would be bloat.
Yeah, it needed to be taken away, looked at through this jobs-to-be-done framework,
uh-huh.
and become the messaging app that it needed to be. And so Eric concludes with this, that he believes that these are the most important leading indicators, the jobs to be done,
yeah.
right? Because the day you stop adequately serving these jobs or a competitor serves them better is the day you start losing customers.
Right. They wow. start looking around.
That's right. So this
looking
is
looking for a comfier chair.
That's right, looking for a comfier chair. So this is the jobs to be done framework that was introduced to me while I was in Australia.
Uh-huh.
We had an internal design week.
How long ago?
A month and a half.
How has it influenced you since then?
I have a new tool.
Yeah.
Right. So I have a new tool, and I think its influence will be seen the more I think about it that way.
A lot of times, you know, especially in our position at work, as designers, we work with other people, right?
And, that's right.
And a lot of times, the jobs, the assignments, the projects come through another person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of like a project manager or something, and they'll describe it in their own language, right? And they'll describe it using their view of what needs to happen. And oftentimes they jump straight to features like, hey, Los, you know, I have a project here. We need a way for feature.
That's right. Feature.
Uh-huh. And they're not saying like, hey, Los, I think that we can solve a job. The job is how does somebody XYZ? And I think we have a good solution for it, which is ABC.
Yeah.
And in that framework, just like understanding it that way, enables you to have a lot more understanding of why something happens. Mm. This goes back to really, you know, the first thing that we started talking about.
Yeah.
When you discover why somebody makes a choice or why they hire or fire your product, you're able to create in a way that's way more empathetic, way more informed and insightful to who these people even are.
Yeah, that's right. So two things. Understand what the job to be done is, and I'd like to bring back something you said a while back, which was something that's been affecting my day-to-day work, which is if I touch something, I own it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So...
That's... Yeah.
Right, and what that means is if something comes across your table, it's like, hey, this is your next task, this is something you have to do, like, don't assume that it was done the best.
Right. Right. Don't assume that somebody has the best answer.
That's right.
Or that they knew completely what they were talking about. Don't trust them.
That's right.
Don't trust them.
Right. Which is good, right? It's like checks and balances.
You own
right?
it.
You own it.
Yeah.
And employ the jobs to be done. And I think it'll be a gut check and a check to see if what's coming across your table has been looked at and thought about.
You know
way.
What? This is a really great topic, Los, and I'm glad that you brought it up. I had a recently a project handoff, and the person who worked on it previously was describing, you know, the project, the
right,
features,
right.
and the things that needed to be done.
Okay.
The things that needed to be done for me to do.
Yes.
Not
yes.
the jobs that needed to be done
for the customer.
The customer. Or, look, and it doesn't always need to be the job for the customer to get done. Sometimes it's, Travis, can you design something that will help the engineers move faster?
Mm.
They have a job to be doing. You know, the product managers have a job to be doing too.
Mm-hmm.
And I can design to help the organization itself
mm-hmm.
be better. And if I had this, if I was armed with this knowledge that you're kind of giving us now, maybe I would have saved myself 3 weeks of work. I'm thinking right now
yeah.
that it's possible.
That's funny. So we'll link in the show notes. I'll link this blog post and I'll link a few other resources that I looked at before coming here. And then I think there's a video that does a good job of explaining it that I haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
It's been mentioned to me, and so I'll find it and I'll link it in here as well.
I look forward to that. That's a lot of awesome information. Thanks for sharing it. Hey, I got to share something with you now.
What is that?
This is a review on iTunes.
I love reviews.
Yeah. This one is from another DK underscore, and the title is very cool. Of course, 5 stars. I get great vibes from hearing the podcast, and it's because of the format. You're in the room with them and just hanging out and absorbing some major knowledge. Thanks for the hard work, guys.
Thanks, another DK.
Thanks, another DK underscore.
Swag.
Dude, swag. I think that's great. Like we've kind of read a few reviews that are similar to this,
mm-hmm.
that just hanging out in the room with the guys, we're talking, it's good knowledge, good talks. And Like, that is exactly what I want, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's like, if you could say, Travis, what do you want your podcast to be like? I'm like, I would show them this comment and be like, I want people to feel like that.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
what's the job to be done?
You know what you
could hang out with your homies and talk about cool stuff.
Yeah, you know what you could do for us listeners? Tweet us at what job this is doing for you.
Oh.
The late nights with Travis Lowe's.
We're doing something now.
Yeah, because
we're giving you a job.
Yeah, because I'd like to I'd like to understand why you listen. I think the reviews on iTunes.
Why are you hiring our podcast for 20 or 30 minutes every week?
Why are you hiring Travis Lowe's and what they talk about?
That's interesting.
That is interesting to me.
All right.
Be curious to know.
Lowe's, have a good night, bud. We're out.
Well, not yet.
Oh no, we're not out.
We're not out.
We got more. We got to plug some stuff.
All
right. Yeah, I'm gonna plug some stuff really quickly. Number one, we have a website, travinlos.com. Mm-hmm. You can hear our whole archive, and we have also a Twitter account, Travinlos. It's at Travinlos. And then we also have an Instagram. You know, on the Instagram, it's kind of like a little fun, quirky thing that kind of Lowe's and I have this game of I try to impress him and he tries to impress me with like a fun little video excerpt and like basically teaser trailers for the upcoming podcast.
It's a playground.
So it's a playground. Yeah. Like check it out if you just want like just to see a little fun stuff. It's nothing huge, but it's a great platform that we like to interact with you guys on.
And the next episode will be... I think we'll be answering 3 listener questions for the next episode. So if you want to get some listener questions in our inbox, email them to travinlos@gmail.com.
Yeah, and the best way for us to hear the questions is with our ears and not with our eyeballs.
That's right.
So sometimes people take their phone and they record a voice message and just send us a file, an audio file. Mm. And that's great because then we can play the audio file on the thing. We've done that a few times, and it's always a good experience.
It is.
And you know, the whole the idea of it's Travin Lowe's and we're hanging out. It's cool because we actually have 3 people to hang out with. Like this little audio file, which represents a human on the other side. It was great.
That's right.
And one more thing I wanted to say. Can't remember what it was that and what it was though. Something about we've been experimenting with promoting the podcast.
Oh yeah.
So like, Travin Lowe's is really about my experience with Lowe's. Like I asked Lowe's to do this podcast with me about a year and a half ago, 2 years?
What are
we?
Years, yeah.
2 years ago, because I like this guy and I think he's like incredibly wise beyond his years. And he's like, every conversation that we had before the podcast was just like mind blowing to me.
Mm.
And I'm like, this guy is lightning and I need to put him in a bottle. And so I was like, I want to do this. Let's do this. And I got him to do it. Now, we've never really done a whole lot of promoting,
right?
I talk about it on my YouTube channel a little bit.
Yeah.
We talk about it, we tweet it, but it's nothing. We haven't like...
had a marketing strategy.
Never had a marketing strategy.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've been like going on Product Hunt for the past like 2 weeks and listing our podcast there. And it's cool. Like people are thumbing upping it.
Yeah.
I don't know I don't know what Product Hunt's like algorithm is, because the one today, I put it on there today and it had the most up votes, but it was not number one.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't understand. Like, like ones that were like 2 up votes and we had 16.
Whoa.
And we were below them. I don't know what it is, but, I'm thinking like we had 16 up votes, but no comments. Maybe that had something to do with it.
It could be that.
Yeah. So my plea with you guys, if you want to help Travin Lowe's out in terms of marketing and getting out there, like, the best way to do that is not necessarily a tweet.
That's
because
right.
The audience is bigger looking at these kind of aggregation sites.
Mm-hmm.
So submitting our podcast to Designer News or Product Hunt or
Reddit or wherever.
Hacker News, whatever, like that's the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a bunch of friends, and if we're all friends in the room hanging out and talking about this stuff, if we're all friends and we're just promoting it and asking more friends to come in, I think that'll do a good job.
Pretty cool.
That was a really long-winded marketing update for everyone.
That's all good.
It's interesting. Marketing is interesting, especially for a media kind of, because our podcast is a piece of media.
That's right.
Is a publication, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And marketing a piece of media to people is different than marketing a product, right?
Yeah.
Like talking about jobs to be done. Like, what is your job to be done? Like, oh, I want to chat my friend, so here's a text message app.
Yeah.
But like with Travin Lowe's, our topics are changing all the time. It's like really it's founded upon our friendship and our personalities.
Yeah, yeah. That's
so, like, what is the job of Travin Lost, like, to be your friend, I guess? I don't know.
It's, yeah, I don't know what it is.
Oh, yeah. So if you guys answer that tweet that Lost asked you for,
we'll
I mean.
We'll know. Or email us or whatever.
Cool, man.
All right. Good night.
Good night. I want to go say what you say.